The following is a message live recording of Sean Yost and Blake Bennett of Youthquake Live, a ministry committed to seeing young people be used by God to reach a generation. Thank you for listening. For more information on our live events, please visit youthquakelive.com.
If you're new to Youthquake Live, my name is Blake Bennett, and there's a lot of other places you could be right now on a Friday night. There's a lot of other places. You know what? We're so honored and thankful and excited that you would come and spend a Friday night with us here at the Potter's House. And so everybody, just want to say welcome. In case you haven't caught it yet, Youthquake Live is all about teenagers for teenagers because we believe that God wants to do amazing things with you right now, that you don't have to wait till you get older to do amazing things for God. And so everybody, welcome. And I just want to say before we get started, isn't our cast absolutely amazing? They are so amazing. I am just always blown away at the creativity that I see coming out of our cast. It's so phenomenal. Well, tonight, of course, we're talking about Don't Date Until, and it's a True Love Awaits show, and so I'd be woefully sorry if I didn't just say my wife is in the house today. It's a very important day for us. I have no idea where Sierra is. Where are you? There's my wife in the back. Okay. Hello, wife. Guys, today's a really important day for us. Today's our 622nd day anniversary. Yes. 622 days of marriage, and it's awesome. We dated for 5 years. We'll talk a little bit about that. On my wedding day, I just wanted three things. That's all I wanted was three things so badly. One, I wanted to give a speech at my own wedding. Like, go figure, right? I would want to talk in front of people, right? The second thing is I wanted mini corn dogs. Not full corn dogs, the mini corn dogs, the good ones. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And then the third thing I wanted is I wanted to look like James Bond. That's all I wanted at my wedding, okay? That and to actually get married. And so I had the most fly tux you would have ever seen. It's so cool. It had like, like those people who play pianos and they got the coattails and everything? That was me. It was so sweet. Well, my parents surprised me. I woke up that morning and right in our driveway was a Corvette. Now, it's not to own. It was rented for a day. So there's a Corvette. And I'm like, this is so cool. I get to drive up and drive away in this Corvette. And of course, on the back of the Corvette, they wrote big, just married. Right, so it was big, just married, and they like decorated and everything like that, which is really cool. So that morning, my brothers, I have two brothers, Bradley and Benjamin, they were my co-best men. And so It's true. It's true. Here's what happens. So when I put God as the top priority, and all the other God is love. So I love God, and I receive God's limitless, abundant love. He loves me. It gives me this overflowing amount of love in my life that I now have to give away to other people. So I love my wife, Sierra. But when God's first, it actually gives me more love to give away to Sierra than if I was to invert it and say, no, actually, Sierra, you're more important. Or if you're dating, it'd be saying, if my boyfriend or my girlfriend's more important than God, did you know that you'll actually never be able to love like you've been created to love? When God's first, it gives us more love to give away. But when we put somebody else in God's place, it just doesn't work as well. And so to be honest, tonight's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and putting him in that highest place of honor. Because we believe that Jesus loves you. We believe it. Jesus does. He loves you. He died for you. He has a purpose for your life. We believe that God created you and you weren't some cosmic accident, but you have a purpose and a destiny on your life. That God created you with intentionality. You're unique. We also believe that Jesus knows what's best for us because, well, God created us. So God, when we think about it, he made sex. He knows how it works. He made sex both a physical and a spiritual act. That's why it's best used inside the context of marriage. Sex doesn't work just because you're in love or because you're going to get married one day. You don't really know that. It doesn't fit in just because you're engaged. It's not if you're wearing protection. It's not a good excuse if you've had too much to drink. And it doesn't matter if you're co-starring on Pretty Little Liars. There's never a good reason. So we have to... We say God's the one who created us. But come on, let's just be real for a moment. If you would, just let's be real for a moment. If you live in the U.S. and you have a pulse, you've probably already done something or seen something that you regret. So that's why I'm so excited to be here, because it's all about Jesus. And when we say, God, please forgive me, I want to follow you. Did you know he makes all things new in your life? And so it doesn't matter where you started. You might not have started well, but you know you can finish well. You can. And tonight, it's not about virginity. It's about purity. It is. It's about purity. Here's what happens. If it's all about virginity, then I see how close to the fire I can get without getting burnt. I'm like, oh, well, I did that, but you know I'm still a virgin. And I went a little bit further, but oh, still a virgin. How do you know when it becomes about purity? That's something that happens in your heart. God's pleased by what goes on in our heart. And he's the best. He deserves everything. He deserves every relationship. He deserves our full heart. He deserves what we do with our bodies. We should give it to him as a living sacrifice. He deserves the best when it comes to relationships with boyfriends and girlfriends. I mean, he deserves the absolute best. And so tonight's all about purity. All about purity. And that's cool because God can make all things new. So you might not have started well, but you can finish well because tonight can be a defining moment in your life. And purity can be restored. You can be in a totally new direction in your life for when you came in today. It's true, and I pray you believe it. I pray you believe it. So if you would, I want to open this up in prayer, and then I got some fun stuff for us. So Father God, we look to you in this place. Lord, I know that even now there is attempt come in and distract us from what you have for us. And Father, I just pray your Holy Spirit would fall on us. Even now, you're speaking quietly to hearts, saying today, tonight, it's about you, that you've divinely appointed every single person to be in this room at this moment, and the message is alive and real through Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray that right now through your Holy Spirit, you would do what only you can do and begin drawing all people to yourself. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen. So, we got the 1950s going today. So I want you to imagine we're going way back to 1950s. So gas is a quarter. Fellas, you can take the lady out to the sock hop for $1.20. Right? It's a totally different time period. Of course, we're going to the 1950s diner where we're going to get malted milkshakes. We're going to get hamburgers, some nice fries, onion rings. We're back in the 1950s. Here's why. Truth be told, when I went to college, I did not go to college to study the Bible. Gasp. I actually went to college to study people. I got a degree in sociology and communication. Sociology is literally the study of people. So I take nerddom to a whole nother level. This is what I like to do at the mall. I like to sit on a bench with my wife, watch people walk by, and try to figure out what animal they would be. You know what I'm talking about? You've done this too, right? And so I love sociology, the study of people. Most sociologists, they say that dating became the norm in America in the 1950s. Did you know there was a time when dating wasn't normal? In fact, it began to change about the 1920s. In the 1920s, you know what it was? It was something called calling. So here's what I have to do. Fellas, imagine this. So you have to write a handwritten note to the girl that you like, and then you go over to her house. You knock. You don't just honk the horn from the driveway. You actually have to knock on the door, right? You get there. The dad comes, looks at you. You give him the letter. I would like to call on your daughter, sir. You hope to God that your voice does not crack at that moment. He then takes the letter. He points to the room that you can wait in, takes the letter to his daughter. He sits there with his daughter and says, here's a note. It came from a boy. She reads the note. She decides if she's into you or she's not into you. If she's not into you, the dad comes back out and says, sorry, you can go home now. If she is into you, the dad and the mom come back into the room. Or the dad, mom, the daughter come back into the room. They sit down and then they proceed to interview you for like 15 to 20 minutes about why you think you're a great candidate to take their daughter out on a date. Whew! We've come a long way since the 20s. Actually, did you know that even right now today, dating isn't the normal or the average or not even the most people use dating as the way of finding their current spouse? In fact, did you know this? I got some stats. I'm going to read them off to you. So right now, dating is actually super rare in a number of countries because schools are separate boys and girls. In Australia, most teens go out in large groups and don't even start solo dating like one-on-one until they're at least 18 or 19 years old. And then girls often ask the guy, and pay for the date. All right. That's a whole nother talk for another day. All right, so here we go. In Central and South America, dating's not even allowed until you're about 15 years of age, and then it's all about group dates. In Japan, this is funny. In Japan, they don't even consider dating until they're out of high school because they're so into studying. And then in college, they'll consider dating, and the guys always ask the girls out, and they always pay for the date. Beautiful. There it is. Now, here's something that I bet you don't know. This is shocking. Today, not in the 1950s, but today, according to research by UNICEF, the Human Rights Council, and ABC News, today, almost 60% of marriages around the world are arranged. Today. Close to 60% of the marriages are prearranged. So I want to zoom out for a second. Let's think about this thing, okay? Zoom out. So you have all of human history, and you could have been born at any time in human history, but you got born now in this little tiny era that we call dating. And you could have been born anywhere else in the country, and somehow you got birthed here or you've moved here. To be said differently, if you date in comparison to the rest of the world in history, you are weird. Dating is the way that we've chosen to try and look for a spouse. Now, I'm not anti-dating. I told you that at the beginning. I love dating. It's how I met my wife. She's my best friend. I'm pro-dating. I just want you to zoom out for a second and realize if you date, you're very abnormal. It's very, very weird. So I'm all dating. I'm pro-dating. I think it's cool to be able to follow the Holy Spirit and to say, Lord, what do you want from me? And to get to that wedding day and know that that person actually is chosen and wants to be with you. I think that's cool. I think that's a good deal. But I want to help you out with something because here's my story. I didn't have things figured out in my life when I first asked my now wife out on that first date. And so shortly after, we had to break up because of my life. I didn't have things figured out in my heart or in my life. And I never thought we were going to get back together. It was months. And I got with God, and he did some amazing things in my life, and I talked to people and opened up about things I'd never opened up about before. And by the grace of God, she came back to my life. I almost lost my best friend and future wife because I didn't have things figured out in my life before I started dating her. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to bypass that whole thing. So tonight, I want to drop nuggets of gold straight from God's word so that you can be a rock star at dating and totally crush this thing. Okay, that's my heart for you tonight. Earlier we saw the skit with Oprah, and you had those two characters, right? So you had Belle, you had Cinderella, and Belle's there, and she's thinking, oh, you know what? Like, he's a project, but I can transform him. Do you really think that people can transform other people? No, right? So she forgot that only God can make things new. And then you have Cinderella, right? So she started dating Prince Charming. He soon became Prince Uncharming, but she doesn't get out of it. I mean, how many people know your high school story? How many people know that that's what happens right now? Right? We see that. It happens in the world today. So here's the deal. I'm driving down to Youthquake today, and I hear on the radio this song. It goes, It's going down, I'm yelling timber. You better move, you better dance. Let's make a night you won't remember. I'll be the one you don't forget. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, let's think about that for a minute. Hey, maybe in a night of drunken escapades, I could somehow lower my standards enough to pierce above the haze, and you might have a gleaming memory of me the next morning. That stinks. That stinks. But my question is, where are you defining what normal relationships look like? Let's go back to the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:22. You're either going to define normal by this or by the things you're hearing on the radio, things you're watching on TV. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Now listen, our God is love. So if anybody should be crushing this dating thing, it's Christians. If anyone should be the experts on love, it's us. If anyone in the world should be sexperts, it's us. Because our God is love. We've got the monopoly on love. It's right there. Listen, BET didn't create sex or love. Pitbull didn't create sex or love. Adam Levine, good songs. He did not create sex or love. God alone created those things. But you know what? When I look around and I see the way Christians date, I don't see tons different. I don't. Yet our God is love, but I don't see tons different. And I think God should be the one who defines what's normal for us. Do you believe that? So let's talk about it a little bit. I don't believe the problem's dating at all. I told you that. I don't think the problem's dating. I don't think the problem is God's commandments or his standard on waiting till you're married or to pursue righteousness. I don't think the problem's with dating. I don't think the problem's with God's standards. To be honest, I think the problem's a person. So here's what we need to do. So I got some chairs back here. I want you to put yourself 20 years in the future, okay? 20 years in the future. So you're here at a date with the person you've been waiting for. And they're there in that chair. The person you've been waiting for. What are they like? What are they like? I mean, if you want to, you can come up with things like, what's their hair color? How tall are they? Things like that. But what are they like? Are they a person who pursues righteousness? Are they a person who's faithful? Are they a person who has peace? Are they a person who flees from things that stimulate youthful lust? What type of person is that? I want you to think about it for a moment. What type of person in 20 years do you hope would be sitting in that chair? You know, I don't think the problem is dating. I don't think the problem is God's commandments. I don't even think the problem is the person that you've imagined in that chair. I think the problem is you. What are you like in 20 years? Are you a person that flees youthful lust? Are you a person who pursues righteousness? Are you a person at peace, that faith is a priority in your life? What are you like? You know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He has had 4 divorces. And I'm not saying that he's unredeemable or evil or anything like that. I just thought it'd be a great way for me to investigate and learn what not to do with my life. So I was talking to him. And he starts talking about, you know, I just have never been able to find the right person. Or as he defined it, as Miss Perfect or Miss Wonderful. So I start thinking about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, you haven't been able to find her yet. I mean, it was you and the wrong person in the first marriage. It was you and the wrong person in the second marriage. It was you and the wrong person in the third marriage. It was you and the wrong person in the fourth. You know, maybe it's not about the other person at all. Maybe it's the common denominator in all this mess. Maybe it's you. So said differently, we're all waiting on somebody, but are you the person that you're waiting for is waiting for? Are you the person you're waiting for is waiting for? Have you taken the time to get with God and say, God, I want everything you have for me. I want to pursue you. I want to love you. Transform my life. Because here's the deal. If you're not taking steps right now to become the person that you're waiting for is waiting for, here's what happens. God will be an absolute jerk to introduce you to the person you're waiting for. If you're not to become the person you're waiting for is waiting for, getting closer to God, pursuing these things, God would be a jerk to introduce you to the person of your dreams right now. He would. So here's what we're going to do. I want us to look at one more time this verse. And the Youthquake cast is going to come and illustrate this a little bit. 2 Timothy 2:22. We're going to put it on the screen. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. So if these are the things everyone should have in their lives before they consider dating, how are you doing? I've asked our skit to kind of illustrate the point of what does it look like to run away and to flee youthful lust?
you doing?
I'm good, I think.
Now, before I show you the results, I want to ask you a few questions first.
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
Bacon.
What's your favorite drink?
Bacon grease.
What's your favorite TV show?
Ooh, Bacon Bad.
You have what we doctors call ATB, addicted to bacon. You have 2% bacon in your blood.
That's a bad thing.
It's a very bad thing.
Oh, that's a very bad thing. You know what? This is all a bit much. I think I need some bacon.
No, you don't. You're going to have to get off bacon. You're going to have to wait at least till breakfast.
Wait till breakfast?
Every day.
Every day.
Now, thankfully, we can help. There's people who go through the very same problem.
I don't have a problem.
Yeah, you do. Go. Across the street. Now.
Oh, pushy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bacon Rehab. I see a lot of new faces here, so let's everyone go around in a circle and say your names. We'll start with you.
My name is Robert, and I used to be addicted to bacon.
Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
My name is Cache, and I'm addicted to bacon.
Hi, Cache.
Hi.
I'm Bonnie.
And how long have you been addicted to bacon?
What's bacon?
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie.
And I'm Ariana. And I don't know why I'm here. Everybody keeps on saying I'm addicted to bacon, but I don't really think I'm addicted to bacon, but I'm here, so. Hey.
Hi, Ariana.
Hi, Ariana. And I'm Chelsea, and I don't really know why I'm here, because, like, I'm not that addicted to bacon. I mean, it's only been, like, 4 minutes since I last had bacon, so, yeah.
Hi, Chelsea. Okay, guys, well, I have to go get some paperwork out of my car, so you guys talk amongst yourselves, and I'll be right back.
So, have any of you actually, you know, waited until breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. You see, like, I used to be addicted to bacon. Like, 10 years ago, I used to eat it at breakfast and lunch and dinner. Because, you know, I mean, it tastes good. But the thing is, it's only for breakfast, and it's made, like, to wait for breakfast to eat it. And once you, like, realize that and can, like, get off the addiction of eating it at lunch and dinner, you, like, feel better about eating it at breakfast, and it also tastes better, and it smells better and everything.
Oh,
so you feel better in general about it.
But bacon smells so good.
But it smells better at breakfast.
Mm. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. You want to hear my story?
Sure.
Okay.
So I used to be bacon, like, all the time. I used to, like, drink all bacon all the time, eat bacon all the time, and I used to have it all day, every day. But then I was like, oh, my gosh, every time I have bacon, I, like, regret it. And then I went through a dark period in my life. And then I stopped eating bacon. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's so cool. And I was like, okay, let me get off bacon. So I was like, I got off bacon. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. I was like, okay, YOLO.
What?
Okay. What about you?
Well, honestly, I'm not really sure what bacon is. My parents will not tell me what bacon is. And I've heard rumors that the store brings it, but I don't think that's true. And, you know, I'm really confused why I'm here. And I don't even know what bacon is. What's bacon right now? I don't know.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I will be here today. I'm Sophie. Can I get you guys anything to drink?
Oh, do you have any bacon grease?
No, we don't serve bacon grease here.
Why not?
You should.
That's not a drink.
Yes, it is. I drink it, like, every day.
Okay, well, I will check with the chef about that for you.
Go do that.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay. So, what about you?
Okay, well, you see, I never really got off bacon, but, I mean, come here. I gotta show you something. You see, I got, like, the stockpile. Okay.
Okay.
And you see, no. Listen. This is okay because it's not the full piece of bacon. It's just the bacon bit. So it's close enough to waiting for breakfast.
Well, I mean, it's...
No, no, you just need to take some now. Take it, take it.
Bacon bit?
Yeah, bacon bit.
No. Well, the...
No, they just said, eat it, just eat it. I just need you to try it, like, now.
Well, the doctor
no,
said...
just put the bacon in your mouth.
I'm sorry,
just but... eat the bacon!
Just...
If you don't eat the bacon, you're gonna become super crazy,
what
okay?
What are you doing?
It's a bit of bacon,
just
a bit.
Just because it's a bit doesn't mean it's different. Bacon bits and bacon's the same exact thing. No bacon bits or bacon. What are you even doing here?
It's not my fault!
I don't even know how she gets out of that trench coat.
Wasn't she sitting outside earlier when we got here eating bacon in the bacon costume and everything?
Yes! I saw her. She was over here running around talking about bacon! I go cray.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Have you decided what you want to order?
No. Okay? Because I can't have bacon because I'm supposed to wait for breakfast. Because the doctor said you need to wait for breakfast or you know, 25% bacon in your blood. But see, I need something to eat now and I can't have bacon because it's lunch. So why don't you tell me what I need to eat for lunch?
Well, there's an appropriate time to eat bacon, and that's the best time to eat bacon is during breakfast. So right now, for lunch or dinner, you could have something like a turkey sandwich.
Turkey sandwich?
Sandwich. You guys don't know what a turkey sandwich is.
That's
French. A turkey sandwich.
You know, just like bread, lettuce, mayonnaise, turkey, bread.
Sandwich.
Listen, try it, and if you don't like it, on the house. Anyway, if you don't like it, at least you tried. And waiting for breakfast is the best thing.
Sandwich.
Just eat it.
Hey guys, I see you're all eating turkey sandwiches.
Sandwich.
I'm so proud of you guys.
You know what? This is actually pretty good. You know, maybe I can just eat bacon for breakfast. I mean, for lunch and dinner, I can have a sandwich or something else. Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll wait till breakfast. Don't go baking my heart.
Yeah, I could. Woo! If I cried. Don't go baking my heart.
Hey, let's give it up for our cast. So, what does it look like to flee youthful lust? What does it look like to be a person who actually can wait till breakfast to eat their bacon? And you know, as we get kind of in the last little bit of Youth Quick Live tonight, there's really kind of two groups of people, and it's okay if you find yourself in one of these groups. I hope you would find yourself in one over the other. But there's a group here that they realize that you're getting like dating gold. I mean, I wish had dropped this on me when I was in the dating game. And there's another group of people, you're like, I don't care if my dating life's mediocre at best, and you're not going to take this seriously at all. But I'm going to go through very fast everything that's in 2 Timothy 2:22 and why if you put it into practice in your dating life, not only will you put purity as a priority, but you're going to have the best dating experience that turns into an incredible marriage. So I don't know what camp you're in, but I'm looking for all the people who are like, man, this is serious. I'm gonna take this. I'm gonna do something unheard of. I'm gonna take notes. I'm gonna tweet things. I'm gonna be engaged because this is stuff that has the potential to change your life. So let's take a look. What does it look like to be someone who runs from things that stimulate youthful lust? So I got a couple of questions for you. One, your eyes. What do your eyes look at? What do you focus on? Do your eyes rule you or do you control your eyes? Let's talk about your mind. What do you choose to think about? What do you choose to focus on? What about your hands? What do you do with your hands? Do they make it easier from youthful lust or they bring you closer to youthful lust? And let's talk about probably the thing that's plaguing our generation more than anything else, pornography. I mean, I know that according to research, 93% of men and 81% of women will view pornography by their 18th birthday. But are you addicted? Are you like just in the grasp of it? If so, tonight you're going to get an opportunity to come lay it down here at the front, at this altar, and talk to a caring adult in your life. Maybe you're a youth pastor. Say, listen, this thing is in my life. And I got to be honest with you. I love you from the bottom of my heart, though I do not know all of you. But if you are caught in the snare of pornography, you have zero right to invite somebody else into the mess that is your life right now. That does not mean that you cannot date one day. It just doesn't mean that should be today. Let's get these things figured out. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He's like, oh, man, if I just get a girlfriend, this whole pornography thing will be so much easier. I'm like, no. No, it will not. If you can't win a fight by yourself on your own, don't start another war for purity somewhere else. I mean, we got to learn how to be people who win the victories before. So, 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that simulates youthful lust. Instead. Everybody say instead. Instead. You know what I love about the Bible is that it doesn't leave any room for wimps. This isn't a life where we just run away from things. It says, instead, run towards. You know what? When we run away from youthful lust, the only way that works is if we're running towards a vision, if we're running towards a purpose. I mean, if we're running towards the very best that God has for us. That's what I'm calling us to tonight. I'm going there. Go there with me. The very best that God has for us. We're not just running away from something. We're running towards a life of meaning, of victory, and of purpose. The very first thing we're running towards is righteousness, pursuing righteousness. Righteousness is doing the right thing, the just thing. I mean, how many people one day want to have a husband or a wife that does the right thing? We do. We want a spouse that's going to do the right thing. Did you know that just as you're looking for a person that does the right thing, the person that you're looking for is looking for you to be a person who has righteousness as a core value in their life? And so for those of us who are single, this is a season of our life where we get to spend more time in God's presence, reading His Word, not just hearing about it or reading about it, but actually doing it, taking steps towards righteousness. Next thing is pursuing faithfulness. What does faithfulness look like? I got a couple questions. Do you keep your word? Are you an honest person? Do you quit easily or do you stick things out? Perseverance. Are you selfish and have to have it your way or the highway? And let's talk about probably the most important aspect of faithfulness. Is God first? I mean, do you pray? Do you read God's word? What does church look like? Do you go consistently? Are you a part of a youth group? You know, faithfulness, people who have it, here's what happens. They can look into the future. And they can see their future spouse, and they choose to be faithful to someone they may not have even met yet. Sierra, my wife, she came to a True Love Weights show when we were in high school together, before we even knew each other. She came to the Youth Quick Live show, and God spoke to her that night. And the same thing in my life. I was trying to live faithful for someone that I didn't even know yet. And God spoke to her that night about being faithful to someone she had never met yet. That's what people with faithfulness do, is they say, I'm not going to sacrifice in a moment something that deserves to somebody else in the future because I'm faithful. I'm a faithful person. Without faithfulness, it's impossible to maintain the vision of not only, like, keep purity but waiting till marriage. Without faithfulness, it just can't be done. And, of course, at the end of the day, how many people want a faithful spouse? None of us want spouses that are going to run away with other people. We want faithful spouses. And just as you're hoping for the person will be faithful, the person that you're looking for is looking for you to be a faithful person. So are you faithful? You know, I get asked a lot the question, Blake, how old should I be to date? How old should I date? And I think that's a great question to ask your parents. And since the Bible doesn't give an age, I'm not going to give an age either. But can I be honest? Pretty much, to me, I know guys who are in their 30s and 40s. Let's just call them that guy. And they're not old enough to date. They're not. They haven't gotten this stuff figured out. They haven't. They don't know what it looks like to flee things that stimulate youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, peace, and love. They don't have that. They're not old enough to date. But if you want to try and say just because you're 13 that you've ascended to the level of 2 Timothy 2:22, the level of Zen and know all things God. I don't know. I just don't know. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Now, we all want love. We all want love. It's that thing that we all crave for. On our honeymoon, Sierra and I, this is so cool, we rented a cabin on top of a mountain for 2 straight weeks. It was awesome. The cabin had like a hot tub outside overlooking this valley. It was so cool. And you know, we dated for 5 years, and by the grace of God, we were able to enter into marriage, both of us as virgins. And I'm so thankful for that. So yeah, you can clap for that. That's pretty cool. So we're there, and you know, you wait 5 years, and now you got this honeymoon, so it's a really exciting time. And so I'm trying to be the best husband possible. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make dinner. Okay, so we're in this cabin, I'm going to make dinner. So I go to make turkey verde tacos, which they're made with like peppers and stuff. My wife likes jalapenos. I hate jalapenos, but I'm like, whatever, I'm going to make things with jalapenos. So I like to cook, but I don't have a whole lot of experience cooking with hot peppers. So I do the cardinal sin of cooking with hot peppers. I begin to cut them and take the seeds out with my fingers without wearing gloves. So some of you know exactly what happens next. So when you take really, really hot peppers and you do that, the juices seep into your skin, and the pain, it's like Satan himself has crawled into your finger. It's unbearable. So I'm making these tacos. Well, the pain, it's like a time-released bomb. It doesn't begin immediately. So we're out, and we go into the hot tub after dinner, and what happens is your pores then open up like these big black holes of pain, and they just take in all of that jalapeno stuff, and it seeps in deep into your finger. So we get out of the hot tub, and I look at my finger, and it's like three times its normal size, and it hurts like crazy. Now, gentlemen, I don't know if you've ever been in this place. I don't tend to cry when I experience pain. So I don't go, you know, that's not me. But have you ever been in so much pain that you're there not crying, but yet a tear somehow manages? You know what I'm saying? It's like your eyes are sweating. You're just like... Right, I'm in that type of pain. I'll never remember. It's like we're trying to sleep it off. So Sierra's asleep. I'm watching the NBA Finals. It's the Heat versus Oklahoma City Thunder. And I'm just thinking, this is so painful. This is so painful. And eventually I wake Sierra up. I'm like, babe, I'm dying. I don't know what's happening. And she's like, oh, good Lord, I waited 5 years. And now I'm in this. I'm married a wimp. What's going to happen? So she busts out her iPhone. She starts Googling it. So she goes, why do my fingers hurt from, and corrects, from jalapenos? So apparently the Google universe was one step ahead of us. So she began saying, hey, is this what you're experiencing? So she starts reading stories. I cut jalapenos the other day without wearing gloves, and it was the most excruciating pain of my life. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. Oh, here's another testimony. It was so much pain, but don't worry, eventually I blacked out, and when I woke up, there was no more pain. I'm like, this is awful. This is awful. The jalapeno pain is immense. And so we're trying anything. So we try wrapping my finger around in sour cream. It doesn't work. Anything. And eventually, the only thing that can settle it is I put my hand in a bowl of milk. And there in the bowl of milk, Sierra, it was 3 a.m. at this point. She kept refilling this bowl of milk so it could always be cold. So I'm going to show that picture, right? This is us, 3 a.m. You know what love is? Love is refilling that bowl of milk all night. That's what love is. That's what we're all craving. We're all looking for. We all want it. We all desire love. And here's the end of the day, God is love. So when we say we're going to be a people that pursue love, you know what we're saying? We're going to be people who pursue God. We're going to pursue God. And there's a lot of counterfeit love out there, but the truth is that God is love, and in Jesus you find true love. And when you find true love, you can give it away. When you can give it away, you become the person that you're looking for is looking for. So let's talk about the last thing, and then I'm going to have our dance team come out. Let's talk about the last thing here, which is peace. Being at peace with yourself is one of the best things that you could ever give to your future spouse and yourself. I mean, there's a peace that can only come from knowing that my relationship has been established with God, and when I get him, I'm ready to become close to another person. There's a lot of people say, I have to date. Like, Blake, I'm going to go crazy if I don't date. Like, I got to have a boyfriend. I got to have a girlfriend. I'm not comfortable being single. And my question is, what makes you so uncomfortable just being you? Like, why can't you just be at peace being you? What are you missing? It's in God. He calls himself the Prince of Peace. When we have Jesus in our life, we have peace in our lives, and we don't have to look for it in someone else because no one else can give you the peace. The person that you're looking for, doesn't matter who they are, they can't give you the peace down in your soul that we all crave. It can only be found in Jesus. So if you're not at peace with yourself, why are you dating somebody? Why? Do you really think you're going to marry them one day? Is it just for popularity? Is it so you can mask that loneliness? My mom used to tell young ladies all the time, when you don't need a boyfriend, you can have a boyfriend. When you're just okay, you, God, and there's peace there, you're in a much better place. And I hope that this is encouraging you. I wish so bad that there had been someone that had spoken this into my life. And as we kind of wrap up, there's really two paths. There's love and pursuing righteousness and fleeing sexual immorality and lust. And then there's the other path, the path that the world wants us to go down, which will lead to destruction. I mean, let's look at the end of the road. We see what it leads in our generation. And I would pray that you would choose the right path.
Thank you for listening to this message by Sean Yost and Blake Bennett of Youthquake Live. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to visit our website at youthquakelive.com for videos, resources, and more.